Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Get right down to it. We're almost done with this week, and where in God's name did it go? I'll let you know if I find it. You let me know. It's like the old Three Stooges routine. We'll meet. If I get there first, I'll make an X. If you get there first, you rub it out, okay? It's been busy. It's been a busy week somehow or another, and it just sort of just rushed right the heck past us. But that's okay. That's okay. All right. A ton of things to do tonight. Maybe a little fun and frivolity, I hope. But some pretty serious business going on. And here at the top of the program, I have a question that I must ask. And this is that question. Do you want to see the horn grow? Do you want to see us really, really take broad steps toward expanding this discussion, this dialogue, this American debate, this conversation over the figurative national back fence? Well, if so, there is a step you can take, and it does not cost anything. There is no money involved. There is practically no work involved. But as I mentioned yesterday, there is a wonderful, lovely article about the horn over at BuzzFlash.com. You know BuzzFlash. I don't know about you, but it's one of my go-to sites for the evening on any given day in which I'm trying to pull the show together. There's a wonderful interview over there by Meg White about the horn and what we've tried to do here. And it is aching for comments. I mentioned this last night, and I said, hey, gang, you know, run over and comment on the story at BuzzFlash, please. And I'm proud to tell you that between last night and this morning, precisely two people did it. One of whom was doing it as a result of having seen it on my Facebook page, not on the radio, not on the show itself. So let me ask this again. Because you see, and we're not going to get into the nuts and bolts and the boredom of it, but the way that stories get picked up by the news aggregators out there is based on the number, is based on the number of comments. Now, the one thing that the horn suffers from more than anything else is an absence of PR. Because PR, professionally produced PR, is extremely pricey. I am really, I can't tell you how pleased I was when I got the request for an interview from Meg White after my little conversation with Mark Carlin, the head man over at BuzzFlash. It's just a terribly genial, decent, kind thing that they have done to shine a little spotlight on the horn. And so I was glad to sit still, you know, participate in the interview process. And I hope I didn't screw up too badly. But in order for this to be effective, it needs to be seen. Do you know that, that the link to this article went out to BuzzFlash's Morning Buzz this morning, which goes out to God knows tens of thousands of email addresses? It did. Now, not to be chastising or cranky or anything, how does that look when this thing's been up for 12 or 14 hours and it goes out as part of a blast email and there's two horn listener comments on it? How does that look? No, me neither. So, first of all, I want to thank the folks who did jump out there and comment later on today. I want to thank the original posters. I want to thank Joe Clarity, and I want to thank Parson Brown. They were the first comments there. I want to thank our buddy Matt Osborne at Osborne Inc., who jumped in with his own 2 cents worth. Reverbo got in on the action and said some magnificent stuff. ELO, Sue from the chat room, Den Mother of the Horn, is the latest commenter to the piece. And that right there is where the commenting ends. It is not often that I ask for anything beyond. Yes, I frequently beat the drum for financial support for the horn, but that's because I assume that you want the horn to continue going. Now, this is something wholly different. I assume by your financial support that you want to see the horn going. The question is, can you get out there and comment and keep the horn growing? Because this is the kind of thing that will do that. This is absolutely necessary. God, it would do my heart so much good, and all of us, to see 500 comments to this thread. And you know what? It would say something about us being worth mentioning and promoting down the line. It would mean that horn listeners are literally a part of activist radio. That's what it would mean. Now, I'm not gonna give up on anything if you don't. But it's gonna tell me something that I don't want to know if we can't see a whole bunch of comments on this article by the time this program is over. And for those of you listening in delay, let's put a 24-hour time frame on this. And we'll see. Because, like I said, this asks for no money. This asks for a few minutes of your time simply to tell the folks at BuzzFlash via a comment to this article what having the horn means to you. This isn't ego padding for me by any stretch of the imagination. If whether I did this show or not depended on my ego, there would be no show. Because I try not to let ego get involved with that. But by God, there is too much hard work going into this, and I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about that long list of people that I thank at the end of every program. There is too much hard work going into this not to insist that it absolutely succeed. So let's just see what happens in 24 hours. Go over to BuzzFlash. The name of the article, Bob Kincaid, Last Man Standing in Liberal Radio Network Land, and share your thoughts. And yeah, I do realize that one actually has to register on BuzzFlash to make a comment. I do, Marty. And, you know, I guess my question is the horn not... Is the horn not worth a registration? It's not rocket science. I know it's certainly no less complicated than doing stuff on our own website. And frankly, it's how we go forward. You know, if I had... I've heard stories about how... say, musicians, great musicians, musicians who had immense wells and depths of talent but were languishing in obscurity, how they would scrape together whatever they had and go out and pay thousands of dollars to a PR professional, and then overnight they're getting written about in all the right newspapers and periodicals and magazines. Had nothing to do, their talent was the same yesterday to the day after, but it was buying that PR that made the difference. Well, you know what, if that's what it takes for the horn to grow, we ain't going to grow. We can't afford a really expensive PR lady. We can barely afford to stay on the air because, as we said, okay. Sorry, Marty. And another feeble attempt at humor falls by the wayside. Yeah, you caught me on the wrong side of the beat, Marty. I'll tell you the truth. It was frustrating as hell to look this morning and see only two comments about the article. When I did go so far as to ask, and very politely and nicely, I might add, that folks go and comment. Yeah, there's a registration process. I promise, the aliens won't have your email address if you go and register. I know the BuzzFlash folks, they're good folks. No, this is just, it's just sensitive stuff. I got a phone call today from Peter Godbold, who called to congratulate us on this article appearing. He was just beside himself with happiness to know that the word was finally getting out there after almost 5 years that we exist. And that's almost 5 years of this team doing this work. But a little something else, just by way of marking time. This is the fourth day of February. It's the fourth day of February, 2010. And it is difficult to believe, but yes, in fact, precisely 6 years ago tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid went on the air for the very first time in America's fifth smallest radio market, Beckley, West Virginia. And we never looked back. How about that? Pretty cool, huh? So on the sixth anniversary of what would eventually go full blossom into the horn, we finally have an opportunity to get folks to sit up and take notice of just exactly what it is that we've built here that means so much, because you tell me frequently via your emails and your phone calls and your chat room participation exactly what means so much to you and why it means so much to you. So, thank you. Thank you in advance, and thank you already for the five folks, who took it upon themselves to do something about this. And to help, you know, this, and the more this thing gets commented on, the more it stays, in the consciousness. It's got five tweets. Now that's where I got to learn. I know the basic rudiments of tweeting, and I still hate that word because it just sounds so inconsequential. But I got to get this tweeted. And you know what? If you guys Twitter, you can tweet it too. And this is not by way of some sort of cranky cranky lecture. This is just a matter of not letting a magnificent opportunity pass by. How do you do it? Thanks, Sundog. You go to you go to the website, buzzflash.com, you look for the article, Bob Kincaid, Last Man Standing in Liberal Radio Network Land. You go to the bottom, and it says log in or register to post comments. If you don't already have a login there, you need to register. Once you're registered, you can just you can comment and say whatever's on your mind. That's how that happens. Buzzflash.com. Now, they've been doing this as far as, you know, aggregating the news and pulling together stories that matter to liberals. They've been doing it longer than anybody I know. They're certainly older than they're older than Huffington Post. It's a long time that the team at BuzzFlash has been at it. This is, and you know, maybe I'm trying not to overstate the case, but this is something to have this level of notice. And if we intend to grow the horn and build the listenership and involve more people in this discussion, this dialogue, then we dare not pass this opportunity by. For it will not, it may not very well come this way again. So that's you know, that's just an humble request to get the program going, because if I didn't do it at the top of the program, it was pretty certain that I wouldn't do it anywhere in the program, because you know how it goes around here. My agenda does not drive this program. Yours does. That's what makes this all so radically different from anything going on anywhere else. I have at least the humility to recognize that what you want to talk about is as or more important than what I have on tap. And I would submit to you that you will not find that in many other places, if any. There are no topical restrictions here. We can be talking about Afghanistan in one phone call, and the next phone call can be about 9-year-olds starting lingerie lines, and it's equally a horror of its sort. That's okay. That doesn't faze me. That's the way real conversations work. You know, if you're into the whole Western school of thought, you believe in lineality, and things start run along a continuum, and they go from point A to point B to point C to point D to point E, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's supposed to be linear like that, either horizontal or vertical. If, on the other hand, you believe that we learn and learn well when we find the little connections between points that we thought weren't connected in the first place, then you take the approach that I try to bring to the program, and that is, let's get it all out there. Let's put, you know, because you can't play connect the dots until you've got some dots. And who's to say that perhaps there isn't a connection between an overly commercialized culture, an overly sexualized childhood, and our willingness to blow the snot out of human beings who just happen to not be overly commercialized or overly sexualized enough? Who's to say that's not, who's to say there's no connection? We will never discover it, however, if we don't go looking for it. So that's where that sort of, that's the philosophy behind what we do here. But I tell you what, you try calling in a right wing show and tell the screener there that you want to talk about something besides what the host is talking about. See how far that gets you. Here's a hint. It won't. You'll be sitting there on hold listening to the Percy Faith and his orchestra for a long time. That's just a fact of it. But that really isn't, but that's not the topic of the program this evening, and I guess I have griped at you long enough, and I feel guilty as hell for griping in the first place. The idea that I would gripe at you seems patently absurd. but that's, by God, what I've done for 20 minutes. All right. Well, we can go somewhere else. And I fully intend to go somewhere else. Most particularly, just a question, have you checked in on your state of terror? How terrified are you right now? Because patriotism demands not your service, but your fear. Exactly. Not your service, but your fear. Because we have been told, have we not, that, and didn't this happen in congressional testimony just yesterday or so? That we are due for a great, big, ugly, scary, terrifying, pants-sweating terror attack between now and summer. In the next 6 months. Yep. Balloon gonna go up again. Big darkness soon come. Are you afraid? Be very afraid.
Pray louder, Christian. Your God can't hear you.
How I wish it was not so, but it is so. The National Security Advisor to President Obama telling the Congress, you know, it's going to hit the fan pretty soon. Big terror attack. Can't tell you where. Can't tell you when. Lots of cyber attacks out there. Granted, you probably have better odds of winning the Powerball or the Mega Millions than of being harmed in a terrorist attack. Granted, there are American corporations who live right next to you who pose a greater threat to your health and your well-being than some 6'7" Arab in a dress with a portable dialysis machine shivering his ass off in a cave in Pakistan somewhere. But damn it, we're Americans. And as good Americans, when we're told to be afraid, we understand that in the 21st century, that's part of what it means to be patriotic. Yes. Be afraid, America. Them Arabs is coming for your lingerie-clad 9-year-old daughters.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life.
Blown away!
And I had to start again. Just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away.
And I'm proud to be an American, where I'm just as scared as shit.
The men who died, who gave that fight to me.
And I'll proudly wear myself today to do my patriotic duty.
'Cause there ain't no doubt
I'm scared as hell all over the USA. You got it? Be afraid.
Yeah, as Marty notes, while fools are unafraid, greater fools allow fear to rule them. That's my answer. There's plenty to be afraid of. But I gotta tell you, the 6'7" Arab in a dress shivering his ass off in Pakistan, that's not what's taking up my time. We have a political system that a corrupt Supreme Court or the right-wing contingent thereof has turned loose corporate America on us, on our political system. Our freedom is really, really, really at hazard, and it's not coming from any spooky Arab. Now, granted, the spooky Arab's government, at which he's mad too, owns stuff in the United States that will allow them to, in turn, buy in, opt in, if you will, to the American political process. No biggie. That's a hell of a lot more worrisome to me. But no, no. No, we've got to... You have a patriotic duty to be afraid. And beyond that, looking at the New York Times today, there's a story headlined, Soldier Deaths Draw Focus to U.S. in Pakistan. And it opens as follows, Dateline Islamabad, Pakistan. The deaths of three American soldiers in a Taliban suicide attack on Wednesday lifted the veil, har, 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 see, isn't that clever? That's how you get to be a writer at the New York Times. You tell Pakistan stories, and then you say that it lifted a veil. Get it? Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Lifted the veil on United States military assistance to Pakistan that the authorities here would like to keep quiet and the Americans as donors chafe at not receiving credit for. We're giving you all this money. Can't you say thank you?
All right, thank you. Thank you very much. Would you not say it so loudly, please? They will come and cut all of our heads off if they find out.
Well, no, not really. No, they just kill American soldiers who were on the ground in Pakistan serving as trainers and teachers in counterinsurgency techniques, including intelligence gathering and development assistance. They're from Special Operations Command, led by Admiral Eric T. Olson. And they were killed in a suicide bombing Wednesday because they're Americans meddling in Pakistan. Of course, they're doing so under orders, and one has to at least take that into account. We don't want anybody to know that we've actually got American troops inside Pakistan because that makes them a little touchy. But part of the reasoning or the rationale for the killing has been said to be the increasing frequency and ferocity of predator drone attacks inside Pakistan. Not inside Afghan airspace, where by virtue of being the conquerors thereof, we at least have the ostensible right to murder with predator drones. But in Pakistan, which is sovereign, and over which we fly and use Hellfire missiles pretty much at will on people who have been neither tried nor convicted nor even so much as charged with any wrongdoing. And as a result of those highly anonymous massacres and murders done with those predator drones, people in Pakistan who may or may not be the Taliban, who may or may not be Al-Qaeda, respond by killing the Americans they can find and get at. And hence the killings spoken of in the New York Times story under consideration. And I don't know, it just so happened, because I was looking for a program on another topic entirely, that I scanned a couple of nights ago, I scanned past a Frontline program on PBS, good work, Frontline, called Digital Nation. And it took in all facets of our participation in digital media via the Internet, everything from World of Warcraft to Second Life, to well, just about it. Chat rooms, how it all started, how children learn, how children perceive virtual reality. And then it sort of transitioned over to the military uses. And it showed footage of a young man learning to kill from the sky in a video game airplane. I remember a long time ago, when I used to ride my dinosaur down to the local arcade and pump quarters into it furiously, trying to get as good as my buddies at that game, Defender. Remember Defender? It was a scroller. You could go left or you could go right. You could sort of vaguely go up and down, but it was strictly linear, strictly two-dimensional, and you were flying a little sort of, I guess, spaceship on some faraway land, shooting bad things and trying to pick up survivors and rescue them. And for the life of me, I wasn't worth a damn at it. I mean, I knew people who could just sit there, they just, you know, the sweat would roll and they'd be so intense and so good at it. And I was like, yeah. Because they were playing for, you know, minutes on end on one stinking quarter. Whereas, quarter in, game over. But somewhere way back in those dim and distant days, someone said, you know what these video games are? These video games are just ways where the military is subtly teaching us that this is the warfare of the future. And we're developing skills that will be used a generation hence in our military operations. And all of a sudden, hey, buddy, you got a quarter? And damned if it wasn't true. The Predator drone is a video game with a human being on one end at a joystick and human beings, plural, on the other end, waiting to be blown into their many multifarious constituent parts. And the theory is that the killings in Pakistan on the ground are on the rise because our activities with Predator drones are ferociously and fiercely on the rise as well. But getting the America, what are you talking about, Bob? Are you saying there's anything wrong about our brave soldiers that play them video games that wind up with dead moose limbs? Yeah, I am saying there's something wrong with that. Especially when you're doing it inside a country with which you are not at war and over which you exert no direction or control. I mean, we do have a constitution still. And did I miss the declaration of war? Did I miss the declaration of war against Pakistan? And if I didn't, then how in the hell is it that we're flying Predator drones there and blowing the snot out of, you know, mothers, children, and the occasionally, arguably, nefarious terrorist type? And why is it that we're the only ones having this conversation? I mean, is the right wing really that dense?
See, what we need to do is we need to step up our Predator drone attacks, and we need to get vengeance for them Americans, what they done killed over there in the Pakistan.
Really? You understand, of course, don't you, Cephas, that you're just going to wind up with more dead American, because at that point in time, you're into poke, 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 poke. Knock the chip off my shoulder. No, you knock the chip off mine. You knock it off first. Okay, I will. Whap! Right in the nose. But that occurred to me, and I wonder how many others it did as well. And this idea that there is a school out there
And by the way, the thing with the Predator drone part was intimately tied in with the fact that the Army has sort of transformed some of its recruiting stations into giant video game arcades where children as young as 13 are allowed to come and play video games. And for 3 years, they can play video games before the military can step up and say, son, looks like you're pretty good at that. We couldn't talk to you because you was 13, 14, 15, but I hear you just had your 16th birthday, son.
Well, yeah, I did, Master Sergeant.
Well, son, let's you and me talk a little bit. You look pretty good with that, sniper rifle there. Didn't you love how his head just exploded when you squeezed the trigger? Wasn't that fun? Wasn't that cool? Wouldn't you love to do that in real life, son? Oh, it's cool when the Muslims die, son. You just squeeze the trigger and there's a little crack and some dirty Muslim falls dead at the far end of your muzzle. Wouldn't you love to do that, son? And you'd be doing it for God and Merca.
Well, gosh, that seems... That could be. Where do I sign?
And thus is made another hunk of meat for the corporate meat grinder that is our adventure in places in which we have no business. My darling daughter will turn 16 soon. And I know for a fact that I've got to get busy. Agnes and I, it's one of those things, we've got to do this, because under the terms and conditions of No Child's Behind Left, yeah, because it's not in any defense bill, it's in No Child's Behind Left, the parent has to affirmatively state that his or her child shall not be recruited by the United States military while in high school. Because if mommy and daddy don't do that, they'll be on Precious Lumpkin like a duck on a June bug, and you know it. I got to do that. Got to remember to do that. I don't think there's a great likelihood of Margie going military. But we have to make dead certain that it doesn't happen. Absolutely certain. Oh, there's other stuff out there. I'm going to go to the phones here momentarily. We've got a couple of lines open. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. On your nickel, if you've got some sort of unlimited long-distance dialing plan, 304-658-3333. Email rolls into Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, @gmail.com. And if you've not tried the chat room at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, HeadOnRadioNetwork.com/chatroom. Jump right in. Folks from all over creation are in there and just waiting to chat with you. So do please feel free. Yeah, there's stuff that links up with all of this, and we will likely get to it during the course of the program, depending, of course, upon what you yourself want to discuss. And away we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Is that me?
That's you.
Hey, Bob, it's Renee Louise.
Well, hey, Renee Louise.
Hey, I'm having some... I haven't been able to catch you, my connection, and my phone I'm having a little trouble with as well. But I just tuned in. I got a connection at the moment when you were talking about, I think, the Buzzsplash article and people not calling in and not writing in.
Yeah.
And I also saw an article over at Alternet, about Air America Radio, and some people had gone over to the horn. But anyway, I'm calling in because I heard what got to me was you saying regarding your discussing this topic about griping. Bob, you're not griping. We let you down so much. I remember back when we were doing the letter campaign when you went to Washington, D.C.,
yeah,
and you simply asked us to write letters, and how many of us actually did that, I wonder. Okay? Now, I was, you know... I'm just calling in to support you again here. There's times when I fall short because of my situation, and I apologize for that. But you know what? I want to urge everybody now, get over there. add on to the rest of these comments over at BuzzFlash, this is such a fantastic opportunity. You know, why should you be sweating bullets here when we just call in whenever we want willy-nilly and talk about whatever we want, and you're there to let us vent? You're such a crucial, I mean, you give people so much peace of mind. And this really gets me crazy that you have to even feel guilty about asking or putting that forth to us. You shouldn't even have to ask us for that. And all we have to do now, other people have started the ball rolling with the comments, both at BuzzFlash and Walternet, where we'll all you have to go over there and say, I'm in perfect agreement with the above comments or whatever. No big thing, one sentence. You know, it's just the more people that...
It ain't rocket science, is it?
No! And the thing is, if you really care about the Hornet, if you're listening all the time, then why aren't you doing this? I mean, and then we want hope for our country, and we can't even support you in this little way? This isn't even asking for a dime. This is asking for you to say, hey, I like this. Hey, this means something here. Or even just right out there, go check it out if you haven't. You know, you'll love it. I mean, and it's true, you offer such a unique... you are one of a kind. The Horn is one of a kind. Bob Kincaid is one of a kind. No, and I don't care where we were to put you. You are one of a kind, Bob. You can call, anybody can call in. As I've said so many times, and people are probably going to be, anybody who's heard me say, I say it all the time about you, and about the Horn. You can call in and talk about anything. And I'm sorry for the static on my line here.
Oh, you're fine. You're fine.
It holds out. But this just touches such a nerve in me. I mean, and you and Agnes and the kids are all part of it, too. And the way you guys sacrifice to keep the Horn going as well. You know, and we can't stand shoulder to shoulder with you. Well, then, for Pete's sakes, why do you think this country's going down the tubes?
Well, we all...
You know, and I'm so tired of us not looking in the mirror and taking responsibility. It's we the people, and for the 80 millionth time that I've said it, it's we the people who do ordain and whatever this Constitution, an established Constitution, you know, it's us. It lies with us, the reality, the world we create. And that means the bottom, this right here, the Horn, a people standing together with you. This little simple thing here, keeping this family, which it is a family, together.
Well, I guess what I found depressing or distressing was the fact that, you know, I put it out there. I mentioned it in the show and said, please, you know, please, and won't you, and could you, and might you, and with two exceptions, nothing.
You know, I'm sorry. I haven't, like I said, I haven't been able to, you know.
Well, that's not me gooning on you, Renee Louise. I mean.
Okay. Yeah, but you know what? I feel that's part of my, what I don't even want to call it response. That's part of my friendship with you. That's part of my being, my family with you, you know, my family tie with you, is that I am there when you need me. Because you are there when I pick up the phone, you are there for me. Okay? And that's for anybody listening, whether they have ever called in or not. Whether they are just listening, they get the same thing as calling in. You are there for us. And we have to be there for you. And something as simple as this is no, oh, this just sets me aflame, as you can see. I just don't understand. And the only reason I have not gotten over there is because of my capability.
Oh,
believe me, I will get there.
Okay. I have no doubt of it whatsoever.
Even if it's a quick sentence, get over to the Horn now, you know. Whatever I can get over there to do, I will do. And I'm holding it. I'm like, I read the alternate article and then my thing went out and I couldn't comment. And it hangs in me, you know, that I'm not over there supporting you. Because it is. This is the crucial component of what the Horn and what this life is about. What it should be, and I even use that word be, it is what life is about, and the reason we are seeing everything that we are seeing in this world going on is because we have let that fall away. And you are this wonderful little spark of that. You and the Horn and everybody connected to the Horn who makes the Horn work, who sacrifices like they do, you are this little flame of, for me, of hope that we can do something. But you know what? If we here at the Horn can't pull it together, gosh dang. thing. What do we expect? And then what? I don't want to hear the complaining. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear people calling in and complaining about this country again. If we can't even come through here for you, please. I mean, I'm sorry. It just really gets to me. It should be so innate and so basic in our nature, and I believe it is, but we've let ourselves become so blind to it with all this material crap that surrounds us and the chatter going on outside in the world and the senseless chatter that we bother ourselves with in our minds. Believe me, I know it's difficult to quiet it all down, and I know how difficult it is to survive this unrealistic reality we've created. But you know what? All the more reason to stand up and start stopping it. Stop it by putting the horn out there more too, so that more of us can come together. And I would love to see the horn as when we first got the new website up and going. What I was trying to push was us pulling ourselves together in more of an organized activist way. You know, that's what I see for you even further. But look, we got to get this. We got to get the word. We have to just come.
Yeah, exactly, Renee Louise. If we can't pull this off,
but then hello, you know, hey, Canada looks pretty good, you know, or even you know, or even human right. Forget it. You know, I can even take it to the 10th extent, whatever you want. If we can't even do this, then my hope for humanity, as I've said before too, our demise lies within our own hands. You know, and our demise or our survival. It's as simple as that. And in this state where we can't even just go over to put two words, a couple of words in, or a little support for the horn, for you. Yeah, I don't know. I'm speechless now.
Well, it's since I threw my little hissy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 5 new comments up there. And while I'm...
Woo! I'm sorry, Bob. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah. Whoa! How many listeners do you have, Bob?
Look, I'm happy for the 5 that are already there, and I'm trusting that there's a lot of people out there typing right now.
I'm having a big old hissy, and maybe it's not my place to. But you know what? I'm sorry. And I'm right there too. Believe me, as soon as I get a connection up, I will be there.
And while you know, Renee Louise, while I am loath to call out by name the folks who financially contribute unless they've told me explicitly that I can, these things all come with names attached to them. So let me just, you know, from the bottom of the top, like I said, Joe, Parson Brown, Matt Osborne, Reverbo, our own Horn Den Mother Sue. Who said, by the way, and this is a beautiful thing, she said, "We all look forward to hearing from all of you soon. Your voice matters and your opinions matter. So the next time some neocon, birther, deather, freakazoid right-wing nut tells you to shut up, get on your feet and get on the horn."
Sue, beautiful. Well, I
And News Ninja Susan jumped right out there.
Right.
David in Tennessee, some beautiful words. Walter... great words. Phase 5 from down in Australia with wonderful words. William chimed in. And you know what? I have this vision, call it crazy, Renee Louise, but if there's 100 of those.
Please, 100? I want more, please. This is the alternate.
Baby steps, baby steps.
Do you know about the alternate article where people posted over at Alternet? On the Air America?
Yeah, I talked about that, I guess, a week and a half ago. And
I'm sorry. I've been trying to get the archives when I can. I haven't gotten to that one yet. I'm going through them, you know, in order. So I'm sorry if I brought up old stuff. But, yeah, I mean, there's that one, too. And I believe if you just keep commenting, it brings it back up, doesn't it?
Yeah. That's sort of the buoyancy under the thing that keeps it bobbing at the surface.
Right, so that's what we can keep it, you know what I'm saying? I don't care how long the article's up there. Keep going and posting. Post another comment. Hey, have you made it over there yet? If not, why not?
Yeah, and if you tweet, tweet. Because there's a tweeting button there. That, you know.
People can put it on their, well, yeah, I think I heard you say that.
Yeah.
Can put it on their Facebook or whatever. But, I mean, and word of mouth, I tell everybody about you. I tell everybody I know about you. I don't know if they'll all make it, but every time I see people, I put it out there. I put it out there. It's word of mouth, too. And you know, it's just beyond me. And I have to also, before I forget, though, too, the people who contribute and everybody and the faithfuls there, I have to thank them from the bottom of my heart that they are keeping the horn going as well. I want them to know how much that means to me. I do not overlook their contribution in any way. I want everybody to know involved with the horn how much I carry you guys with me in my heart and am thankful for you and what you mean to me. And when you support the horn with in the dollar ways that we unfortunately need, or anyway, there's some conversations that you guys have. I think I caught a conversation. I think it was with you and Reverbo. You guys are hysterical. I mean, but that's just what I'm saying. So the way you bounce from every corner of the universe on all topics, it's so unique, Bob.
Well, I like to think it's the one place where attention deficit disorder comes in handy, Renee Louise.
Oh, well, you're amazing. It's so funny, too, because sometimes when I'll send you an email and it'll run through my head, like, your comments about ADD, because I know how many you probably get and how busy you are. But that's what I'm talking about. It's like it's like expecting you to be there for us, or we know you're there for us. And that's all the more reason that we have to be there for you. And I'm sorry I just went so ballistic, but this is how deeply what it means to me, how much I want you to know how much it means to me, at least. And please, people, if you're listening, whoever is listening, however you're listening, just get over to these places. Find places of your own to post it. I post you wherever I can, when I can. You know, it's just whatever way. Right now, Buzzflash is such a great store. That's phenomenal how you got that. I think that's astounding. I caught some of the conference that you were doing, you and Guy were doing. You and Guy are hysterical, too, together. I mean, I want to be there with you.
Just
you
a know, couple of white guys sitting around eating, you know, that's me and Guy.
But it's your, you know, but again, it's your relationship. And that's just it. It's what's so wonderful, too, is your relationship with all of us. You know, your individual relationships with all of us. And how beautiful they are and how fun they are and how, fun whether they are in a learning way or fun whether they are in a ha-ha way or everybody's different perspective or way of putting things, you know, or informative, analytical, just the spectrum. It's like you never know what's going to pop up, but it's always going to be something interesting, and it can be something so inane. You know, you're either going to get a chuckle at it. Or
I do inane real good.
No, don't we all? I think it's part of being human. Part of me is being inane right now, most likely. You know, but that's the beauty of it. But the beauty of the horn, too, is how inviting and comfortable you are. You know, it is to come to you and express our views, whatever they are, whether they're in agreement or disagreement. You know, and how you handle it so beautifully. You know, you don't make people feel scandal. You are open to and receptive to people expressing their views in different ways. And this goes for John Fox, too, when I've heard him and got, you know, there was, I can't remember what it was, back a ways ago, and it was you, John, and I think Mark Levine, when they were in a thing on something. I can't remember what it was. But we talked it out. They talked it out. You know, they expressed their views. They totally didn't agree on this point, and they expressed it. And I've got to, you know, I have to, again, I give kudos to everybody at the horn, and for how the world you've created here and the openness, the inviting, that's exactly what the problem with life. We're so quick to condemn and judge, and you don't get that at the horn. You know, views are going to be expressed, whether in agreement or not. The bottom line, everybody is respected.
Exactly. And it's just, I sat there watching that piece on Frontline a couple of nights ago, And there were parts of it that were very much different from the really creepy military part.
I'm sorry, I didn't know what was the frontline piece.
Well, it was called Digital Nation, Renee Louise, and it was talking about how we interact in the digital world, the virtual world, if you will, the cyber
right.
world, and also you know where we came from in terms of how the human mind responds to all of this, and I sat there thinking, you know, we're getting it right here, we're doing this right.
Oh yeah,
because
you're
it's
doing exactly what the human race needs. It's what you're offering at the horn. You know, I mean, we've gotten so away from it. And I mean, David in Tennessee, the last time I called in and I was harping away about, and, well, not harping, I was talking about the horn and what it means and how beautifully he expressed it too, and about us sitting in front of our computers, you know. And that's just it. How the way, what you offer for the digital world compared to what the majority of the digital world offers us, which is inane nonsense.
Well, I like to think, Renee Louise, that among other things,
it's hope.
Yeah, and the other portion of it is that with the rise of the internet, the first thought of many many people out there, especially the so-called commercial sectors, hey, look at this. Wonder how we can make a buck off of people.
Right, right.
And the idea of the horn, and maybe this will be our doom eventually. I don't know, but the idea of the horn was, hey, I wonder how we can interact with people.
Right.
And be liberals who aren't being shouted down. I wonder how we can do that. And then, you know, and then the secondary concern was, how in the hell are we going to pay for this?
Which is an unfortunate thing of
but what I like to think is the communication and the confabulation or dialogue and discussion aspect came first. For me, there's no doubt that the chicken came before the egg.
Right.
And the rest of it, it's all stuff out of that, it's field of dreams stuff. If you build it, they will come.
Exactly.
And there have been a lot of nights when I felt like I was just standing in the middle of the dadgum cornfield, feeling foolish.
Well, you know, you have nothing to feel. That's another reason why I call. I think that's the main thing that really got me going, too, was you feeling like that. And you know, I've said it to you before, and I've backed it up in an email. If you're ever feeling like that, you call me, all right? Because I'll put a stop to that right away. There's no reason for you to ever feel that, because it's brilliant what you've come up with at the horn here. And just because, and it is, it's brilliant, and just because enough people don't know about it yet, or too many people have their heads still stuck in the ground because of all this material crap, or they're trying to hide from the world we've created, is no reason for you to in any way feel foolish or feel like you're standing out there in the cornfield, you know.
Shoeless Joe, where are you, buddy?
Yeah, you know. Again, I cannot tell you how much you and everybody who keeps the horn going, financially or otherwise, mean to me. Okay? This is because you are what life is meant to be about. What you're doing here and the conversation, and I've said it a dozen times before, we do not spend enough time looking each other in the eye and truly caring. And that's what you do right with these conversations without even materialistically looking to our eyes. You do. You look into our hearts and our souls and our beings, and you let us be.
And, you know, that's something else. With very few exceptions, and Sue pointed this out in her post, with very few exceptions, we've never laid eyes on each other.
No,
and maybe never will.
You know something? I don't want that in my reality, to tell you the truth. I want to meet Bob Kincaid. Believe me, it's gone through my head. I listen to where you're going, and I'm like, and I'm telling you, if there was high-speed rail,
I know.
Like, go, Renee Louise, you please go home. No, I'm kidding you. But I'd be there in a flash. And I'm telling you, because, and that's just it. That's the beauty of it. You're right. You and I have never met face-to-face, but man, I know you.
Well, and that's the thing, Renee Louise. That's the beautiful thing, is that with all of this interaction, one of the nice things is that, and I know this for a fact because of the way it all shook out a year ago this past month, when I walked into the Liaison Hotel on New Jersey Avenue in Washington, D.C., freezing my butt off, coming from the airport via the metro and all that stuff. And I walked into the Liaison Hotel, and this big guy comes toward me, and I looked at him, guy, and he goes, Bob, and we'd known each other for 1,000 years.
Right. And that's the thing, though, and that's like everything.
And the thing is, I think, unless I'm just dead wrong, I think that's the sort of sense we would all share if we ever got to, I don't know, get together in the middle of the country with the horn in.
Oh, absolutely, and I have visions of that. I've said it to you before. If we had high school, right, how we could all come together. But oh, absolutely, I've said this before when I've called into you too, Bob. Yes, you. Why I use that word family? I don't use it lightly. And family is not about blood, okay? My blood family, my mom was my closest blood family, and she's, you know, passed on. And she's still, well, I won't even start going into there. But anyway, but you, to me, with that word, quote-unquote family, what it stands for, you and the people at the Horn are more family to me than most anybody else I know. And I don't like Sue, for instance, Sue. I feel I have never laid eyes on Sue, but I know Sue. Lottie. I know Lottie. You know, what is it? John Thought, all of you. I know it. David from Tennessee, just through his emails. I know David. You know, Albert. I know Albert. John Fox. I know John. And Dale, you know what I mean? I know you guys.
Because if you know how a mind works, the hi, how are yous and the handshakes are easy.
Yeah, I know your souls. I know your hearts. You know, why do I know it? Because of how freely and how honestly you express yourselves.
Exactly.
Whether in agreement or not, most of the time in agreement. But it's because of the honesty and the truth. Juanita, Sandra, Wayne, all of you out there, you know, and even the people I haven't heard from or who I haven't called in. I feel you. I can feel the essence of this family.
Exactly.
So, and for me, but that comes from what I believe. I believe everything's about energy. We're energy. We're these particles, you know, stuck together. And so, therefore, you are a piece of me, whether I meet you or not.
And we can all sit back and read that John Donne poem about, you know, no man is an island unto himself.
Right.
And we kind of prove that with this, don't we? Renee Louise,
thank you
so much, dear. I'm going to roll along and just see if we can hit some more of these blinking lights before people give up on me and it goes to a busy signal.
Yeah, no. I'm sorry to stay on.
No, don't apologize.
My time there.
Don't do that.
But yeah, just cut me off when need to. Okay.
All right. You take care, Renee Louise.
Okay. Thanks for letting me rant.
Oh no, thank you. Thank you so
all
much
right.
for saying better than
Bob,
I.
Bob, you don't have to thank me. But thank you. No, here we go again. I better let you go. But yeah, just one more time. Thank you to you. Thank you to everybody who does everything they do for the Horn, whether financial or financially supporting it and otherwise. I have to take this opportunity to thank them for keeping the Horn going. And I guess that's it. The only other thing is please, people, just go write a quick comment over at BuzzFlash. This is such a great thing. And that's it. I love you.
All right. Just we love you too, Renee.
Okay.
Bye
take
now.
Care. Bye.
Wow. Strong stuff. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, dear.
Hey, Susan, what's up?
Did you read Kate's comment?
No, I'm just I just refreshed it and I'm.
I love her title, "Keeping the Hillbilly on the Hill."
There it is. Yeah, that's beautiful.
I
yeah, because if I go down in a valley, some coal company's going to dump a bunch of shit on me.
I put a comment up on the alternate article, but for some reason it didn't take, so I had to go back and put another one up.
Well, they the Alternet's recently sort of reconfigured or whatever their posting system, and I've been there a couple of times since, and it's a little bit it's a little bit less user friendly, sadly.
Yeah, I noticed. Anyway, the reason I wanted to call in, was this nice little thing about Pakistan. Do you ever get the feeling you've been down this road before?
More times than I care to note, yeah.
I keep seeing the word Cambodia drifting before my eyes.
You too? Really? You too?
Yeah.
You know, Swat is Pashtun for Laos.
Yeah. You know, and I'm sitting there thinking, that didn't turn out at all well.
Yeah, it just didn't quite, no. No, that's
no.
That's one of those things you only do. That's one of those, I don't know, it's like, I don't know, it's like bad liquor. You only want to do it once, and then you don't ever feel the compulsion to do it the second time.
But apparently we've got a whole bunch of stupid people because they want to do it again.
And the thing is, and this is not, you know, this is not goon on Barack Obama time.
If he's stupid enough to get involved in another Vietnam and another Cambodia, he deserves it.
But it's an onion. It's layers within layers within layers within layers. When you look at that confounded when you look at that confounded map, you realize that this is a mess.
Oh yeah, it's good.
When a nation state has a province whose name they can't even come up with, they can't even get consensus on what they're going to call it, and they just go, oh screw it, it's the tribal areas.
Yeah, and then on top of that, Afghanistan is going to be an even bigger mess than Vietnam, because Vietnam did not have the resource that Afghanistan does. If you look at the statistics, do you know who is the biggest heroin user in the world today?
Wouldn't that be us?
No, that's Russia.
Oh, well, yeah.
You want to know why?
Lousy weather? Geographical proximity?
All of those soldiers that came back from Afghanistan.
Oh, picked up a nice little Jones while they were there.
Yeah, quite deliberately. The Afghanis couldn't fight them, so they did the next best thing. They hooked them.
You take our country, we give you monkey for your back.
Exactly. Now, what do you think those nice Afghanis are doing right now? With all those poppies.
Well, lucky for them, they've got the supply chain infrastructure already in place for when they come home.
Yeah, I mean, they're hooking our guys.
Got to work on the retail.
We're going to be the next. Yeah. So here we go again. We're not only going to have PTSD to contend with, we're going to have incredible drug habits to play with.
Yeah, on top of the head injuries, on top of the, yeah.
You idiots. You stupid idiots. Get out.
Get out. And that's the thing. It's not just get out, Susan. It's get out while you still can.
Can. While you still have an army that can walk.
I know. Susan, thank you very much, dear.
One more real fast comment.
Yes.
All of this hoorah about the KSM trial in New York, and so on and so forth. When did this country turn into such a quivering mass of cowardice?
That occurs to me, too.
I mean, geez.
Yeah, our Constitution's not even worth upholding because we're so scared. Really?
Yeah.
New Yorkers are scared? And I know I'm being a bit flip, perhaps. But I go back to that wonderful line where Colonel Strasser is going over Rick Blaine's file in Casablanca.
And he's and Rick says something like, "Well, I couldn't see the Germans in Paris." And Colonel Strasser says, Could you see the Germans in New York?" And Bogart replies, "Well, there are some parts of the Bronx I would recommend not even the Germans go into." The New Yorkers are afraid of having a trial? Really?
Yeah. And what gets me is, okay, my father had his ship blown out from him in the Coral Sea. And they picked him up. And, you know, I learned this story as a kid. And I can remember asking him, "Weren't you scared?" And he gave me the standard line that all people of that era gave. "No, because if your number was up, it was up. And there was nothing you can do about it. So why worry?" Where did that attitude go?
It was beaten and bred out of us. You know, in behind all that Morning in America BS was a standard line of terror. And it's part of the authoritarian mindset. Be afraid, be very afraid. I just hate it. But I am gonna roll and catch these other blinking lights, yeah. Susan. Thank you, dear, and thank you for your comment.
Thank you.
All right. You take care, and hey to Donald.
Love to Agnes.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
Onward we roll. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, is this Bob?
Oh, my God, it's Mike.
Happy birthday. Happy anniversary day. Jesus, I don't believe I just said happy birthday.
No, it's a birthday.
Happy anniversary. What is it, 6 years?
Yeah, 6 years. And in fact, you were kind enough when I started the lunatic plan to go on terrestrial radio in Beckley to issue some very kind words and at the same time some cold facts. You know, i.e., it's a great job and a lousy business.
Yeah, I think that's what I said. And don't ever expect to make any money.
Well, that
you
one
know,
too.
Not unless you do a complete 180 and decide to become a right winger. The right wingers make a lot of money, but those of us on the left, you know, get the mortgage payment or the rent, and you know, maybe go to Disney World once a year.
I'm going to Disney World.
I'm going to Disney World. So how's it going? How's the show going after 6 years? This starts 6 or this starts 7?
This is the 6th anniversary, so we're starting, as of tomorrow, starts 7.
Good Lord have mercy.
And, you know, I remember when I got bought off the air in Beckley after about a year and a half. I typed weeping to Mike, and, you know, bless your heart, you said, "Well, that's okay." I remember when it happened at WSB, and apparently I was replaced by a rerun of Michael Savage, and I think you'd shared that experience somewhere.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I got on WSB here in Atlanta. I got replaced by Dr. Laura, and it was this kind of stuff always happens, right, when your ratings are really starting to go up. If you're a liberal, they panic about that. I had that happen here in Atlanta, and it's not just a Southern thing. I had it happen in Chicago, too. Once all of a sudden, and it's usually not all of a sudden, it's over a period of time, you start to show whoever the power is, you know, the station manager or the network, that there are a lot of liberals out there or progressives or Democrats who really want to hear this, it blows the standard lie all to hell. And the standard lie is that there's no market for liberal talk, and that's why all the stations and networks only program right-wing garbage, gibberish. So if all of a sudden you're doing a liberal show and you start to show, holy cow, you know, this guy or gal is pulling market share, let's get rid of him quick, because it puts a microscope on their line.
Right, and they immediately go to Jesus Broadcasting or Sports Broadcasting or the Mexican Crochet Club or whatever.
Oh, my God, that's happened to me so many times. I can't tell you how many staff. Two come to mind immediately, Miami and San Diego, both of which are, you know, good markets to be in. And with Air America and then with Nova M and then when I went independent, we had both of those cities. You know, I mean, we were on the air in both of those cities to the local so-called liberal station. But the same argument comes every time. We can't make any money doing liberal programming, which is amazing because we were giving them, as most liberals do, the program free. All, you know, they didn't have to pay me anything.
Right.
All we asked for was five minutes an hour so that we can sell some advertising, but we never asked any of these people for money. So, I don't know. It's a real struggle, and, you know, sometimes I wonder whether or not it's still worth it, especially when you read these polls that say 46% of Americans say that the most trusted news source in the country is Fox News. Jesus Christ, it's time to pull out the gun, you know, slip one in the chamber and shoot something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's one. Yeah, boy, go get me a peanut butter and banana sandwich and the Elvis gun. Time to shoot the TV again.
Right. I don't know. I frankly, and I hate to say this, because it really sounds negative, but it's not. It's not really negative. It just might be coldly realistic. But I think people like you and me are disappearing over the edge of the horizon. I really do. I don't know how much longer. I mean, who's coming up behind us?
Well,
where's the next crop?
Mike, you have no idea the number of times that I've sat and scratched my pointy little head and wondered that, because I know by knowing a little bit of your bio how you got involved at WSB, and there was a certain, if you'll pardon the phrase, accidental quality to that.
Oh, sure, it was all accidental, the whole thing was.
And, you know, I got involved in radio because all my buddies were had taken all the burger flipping jobs at Wendy's and McDonald's and stuff, and I stumbled into a little gospel radio station in northwest Alabama. Please, mister, can I have a job? Can you play Jesus music? I'll try.
Right.
But all the radio stations are automated now.
Yeah, they are. And they also, most of them are part of huge mega conglomerates. And, you know, we still manage, as you do, to get the story out of bed. But I just wonder sometimes how, you know, what happens when people like you and me finally close up shop for whatever reason. We just get tired of it, or we literally can't pay whatever charges are necessary to get the show out. Because there's nobody that has been groomed, and by that I mean just given a shot from the liberal side in talk radio. It was always tough. I mean, I don't fool myself into thinking that at one point there was a big effort made in American talk radio to have liberals develop whatever talent they had. But there was the Fairness Doctrine, and the Fairness Doctrine at least provided cover for some of these radio stations who would say, well, I know, he's especially here in the South, yeah, he's a liberal, God damn, but there ain't nothing we can do about it. We got the Fairness Doctrine, you know, and the Fairness Doctrine is gone. Thanks to Reagan.
And then
thanks to Clinton.
Yeah.
And here we are. So I just wonder sometimes. You know?
And it's worth wondering about, you know, and that's one of the reasons that, you know, one of the missions of the Horn is to try to develop that talent for people who want to have a try. I mean, if you want to do a podcast and you want to see if you've got it in you to crawl in behind the microphone every night, by God, we've got a couple of hours in the slot somewhere, and we'll crawl behind the desk here and produce and see if we can't do a little something toward creating that space for that next generation.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know there are a handful of, I don't know if up-and-coming is the right word, but a handful of younger people in radio who have taken the progressive or the liberal point of view, who are struggling right now, but they're getting no support. And as you know, opportunity is wonderful, but if it doesn't come with a little bit of money, people can't just, you know, decide, well, I'm going to go into radio. What's your name?
This is not Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney putting on a show in the barn.
Yeah, I'll make the curtains, and we'll use my dad's barn, and we'll put on a show. You know, you can't do that, and it takes a look. And when I think about people like Limbaugh and Beck and the rest of these people who make literally $5, $10, $20 million a year. Jesus Christ! I don't know, man. Things are so screwy. Things are so inverted.
And so, Mike, something that I have babbled on about probably far too long from time to time is the fact that our side doesn't get it, and that people don't really understand when they tune in and they hear Limbaugh. or Beck or Hannity or any of that dirty crowd, that what they're hearing is some, you know, they parrot what how they believe in the free market. Oh, the free market. But the fact of the matter is they have been welfare recipients for years.
Oh, sure.
And the Heritage Foundation, Cato Institute, American Enterprise Institute, all of that were quietly funneling money to keep them going until they could build some sort of a listener base whereby they could be self-sustaining.
Right.
And nobody has figured that out on our side. And I've come damn close to taking people by the lapels. And don't you understand?
I know. There have been several times that I have given pitches in front of audience, you know, a gathering. I remember one time when I worked for Nova M, for Shelley and Anita Drobny, and they were running out of money, and they brought me and a couple other people out to San Diego to this wealthy couple's house, and they seemed like nice people. Had a gorgeous view in the hills up in San Diego where you could see the Pacific, and it was, you know, the kind of place you walk into the house, you just go, oh, my God. So we got in there, and there was a nice buffet and a couple of servers wandering around taking care of everybody. And at one point, Shelley and I were out on the patio, and I said, how much money is here with these people? And he gave, you know, he knew the guest list to give a quick look around. He said, oh, about $2.5 billion. I said, well, what? $2.5 billion? This group of 25 people? Now, as we know, that's not a surprising amount of money. You get 25 of these ultra-wealthy people together. But anyway, make a long story short, our job was to give a pitch. So I think John Manso gave a pitch. I gave a pitch. And then Shelley and Anita closed the deal. And I asked Shelley a week later, a month later, 2 months later, how much investment capital did you get out of that? Nothing.
Pupkis.
Not a thing. And it was about 4 months later. Or 5 months later, that San Diego decided to go all sports.
Right. Something that would lose.
Oh my God.
And well, if it's any consolation, you are not alone. There was nothing wrong with you or anyone else's pitch, because I've made that pitch. Guy James has made that pitch.
Sure.
And we've made it in conjunction with one another. And there's lots of people on the middle level out there who understand, but who can't, for some reason or another, communicate that to the upper level. And
I know.
Is it simply a matter of them being comfortable, and therefore, as long as they're comfortable, it's okay? As long as there's no barbarians at the gates, it's okay?
I think that's part of it. And also, liberals or progressives, the ones that have the money, let's remember what age demographic they're in. And I guess a lot of them just figure, hey, look, we kicked ass and took names back in our day. It's somebody at the time for somebody else to do it, and they're just disinterested. I think you're right. They're too comfortable. They're just disinterested. Whereas the right wing in this country, the neo-fascists, they are perpetually hungry for power and destruction of our system, and they won't stop until that's accomplished. And I don't understand why the liberal, wealthy liberal, and they do exist, why the wealthy liberal community doesn't get that and provide the wherewithal for people like you and me to at least fight back. I mean, if we're willing to put our asses on the line the way we do, I'm sure that, you know, you've gotten enough death threats. I did a thing out in San Francisco about 5 months ago, and they had to hire two huge armed security people, a big white guy and a big black guy, to just to protect me, because somebody had sent a fax. It's cool, they don't send emails. They sent a fax with a picture of the venue and a target on it and my picture. And underneath it said, this is where you die, MF-er. And, you know, I take a lot of that stuff fairly seriously.
Well, you have to.
Right, because of the experience I've had here in Atlanta all these years. But, you know, you get to a point where you think, you know, why am I doing this? You know, why do I put up with this garbage and I have to struggle to pay the bills? Well, I mean, what's the point? Who cares? Now, I realize that's getting a little bit self-pitying, and I hate that attitude. You know, I hate whiners. I literally hate whiners, and when I start whining, you know, I just think, okay, go paint a room or vacuum the carpet, get your mind off this whining crap, you know, and go do what you're supposed to do. But I still wonder, you know, I wonder sometimes why we have always had the struggle and the neo-fascists just wallow in resources to get their message out.
I think if there's your question why, I think we've laid down a pretty good bit of prologue for the answer to that. And the upshot of what the outcome is like what happened to me over the weekend, sitting stuck in traffic. A car wreck had snarled traffic just north of the Maryland line in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hitting the scan button, and I hit three local AM stations, all running the same rerun of Rush Limbaugh, comparing Barack Obama to Pol Pot, Hitler, and Stalin.
Right.
And there was nothing else there. That was what, all there was.
What kind of American media outlet do that? I mean, we think about it. It's the President of the United States. He's a decent man. I may not agree with the... You're talking about Obama, right?
Yeah.
I don't agree with 90% of his policies now. I mean, I don't disagree with them to the extent I disagreed with Bush or Clinton or Pappy Bush. But I feel like most of us, I think I feel betrayed by Obama, which is my fault because he didn't betray me. I betrayed myself. I thought I was hearing something or I thought I saw something, and I didn't because I was so desperate to find a progressive president.
Well, and he admitted as much. He adopted that St. Paul stance of I shall be all things to all people.
Right, right.
And we projected our hopes and dreams onto
sure.
him, and then
sure.
we found out we were looking at ourselves after all.
But when I hear the stuff that has been leveled against this man, I mean, it's astonishing. I've never seen anything like this. And this teabag party nonsense that's going on, this convention they're having, where, in Nashville or Memphis?
Yeah, Nashville.
Nashville. I mean, my God, I wake up sometimes in the middle of the night and just wonder what the hell country I'm in. And I'm serious. I mean... You know, anybody could. We could have said that, and we did say it back in the Nixon years. We might have said it in the Reagan years during all the Star Wars and the craziness. But you know, admittedly, it was a little bit overblown rhetoric back then. This is for real. This is just insanity. Hey, listen, I've got to go help Kathy put Molly.
Yeah, I was going to say you've got a show to do this evening, right?
I got to get ready. Kathy reads to Molly, and then my turn. I tell her a story. I just make stuff up.
Like, oh, that's a beautiful thing, though, Mike.
Yeah, the same thing I do on the radio show. I just make stuff up.
Right. only less terrifying. She's little, after all.
Less terrifying, you know. All right, listen, congratulations, man, for hanging in there all these years. And I hope everything keeps on keeping on for both of us.
Well, thank you, Mike. I share your sentiment, and I really appreciate the call. And the whole chat room says, hey, Mike.
Hey, chat room.
Have a great evening, Mike, and tell Kathy we said hey.
I'll do it. All right, Bob.
All right, later. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Wow. That's better than a shot of ice cold Aquavit. And I've had ice cold Aquavit. I should know. Mike Malloy, the sort of the godfather of the horn, if you will, with a very kind phone call. It was that's energizing. And thanks very much to Mike for making the call. I just heard from David in Tennessee on what Mike said. And he said, you know, that's what Mike said is so true. He said, we'll fight on our side. We'll fight for a cause or a time period or till something's over, then retire. The right has never had enough money or power. The left has never had enough money or power. Never. Always fighting to garner more. Or maybe David means the right wing. Has never, right, because they're always out there scrambling for more, 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 more. And, you know, we stand on a corner with a tin cup and some pencils. Please, mister. Yeah, exactly. To continue onward, if possible.
Hey, Bob, this is Dave up here in Northern California.
Well, hey, Dave.
There's something I have been wanting to try to get across to you folks one more time here, and it sounds crazy, but I'm going to give it another try, because it's often been in your news and others that the Patriot Act troopers, these federal goons, they do tend to invade our privacy. They do tend to muscled in wherever they choose on our computers and on our phones, and they feel perfectly at liberty to misuse their powers. And for a long time, they had not even allowed me to listen to Head On Radio Network. It's only been, as you may know, in the last few weeks that once again I'm finding I'm able to listen to it. So I've also thought maybe one more time I could get back on the chat room. Well, I've been blocked every time from trying to do that. But today I got a little bit further than I normally do. I came up with a username. I chose Hacked909. And it's given me a thing. It says, come up with a verification code, and I have to enter it in. So now I have to go to my email and read my verification code. I'm not going to give you that verification code. Hopefully the people in the chat room...
No, don't. No, don't give out the code, no.
Oh, yes, because this is one that you know is got to be a false. It's a 30-letter, 30-character verification code. There isn't even room to put that in. This is the goons. I should be complimented that they put this much attention into little old nobody me in Bayside, California. What the hell? I mean, I'm certainly no terrorist. But they're there. They've been there 24/7 for years with me. I would like to see them type it down because I'm going to have to start over again. This thing would never work. But can I try?
Sure.
All right. Small Q and then a star. Small M. Capital F. Capital X. Small M. Capital R. 6. Capital D. 9. Small W. Capital F. Small
well, oh, by, Dave, let me tell you that I'm hearing from our chat room moderator, Sue, ELO. She says a code that long is standard.
It is standard.
Yeah.
30 characters? Because no, I don't.
Yeah, just highlight it. Just highlight it in your email, click copy, and then paste it into the bar.
I'll be damned. Well, I you know, I just assumed that this was one of their little tricks because normally they say, I'm sorry, but the name that you have chosen is not available. Like you've got 50,000 people in the chat room. You don't have 50,000 people. But so I thought, well, now that today they've got just come
no, out. No, if you crazy. Copy and paste that into that bar, I'll bet you you'll get in.
I'll be damned. Well, I'll give it a try. I'll give it a try. And if that's true, maybe they've reformed. But, you know, I don't see that happening. Either for some reason, they don't like me to be in the chat room. Like, I don't know how much harm you can do with a half dozen, usually. But they do. Anyway, I still love your program. I'm still listening whenever I can. And I even call in whenever I'm permitted. So.
And it's awful good to be hearing from you again.
All right. Well,
you know, people don't disappear from the program, but what we don't notice, they've disappeared.
Well, it was never by my choice. I hope you can believe that. I do get blocked out, but yeah, I'm going to try this. I'm going to cut and paste and see if I can get myself in there. In fact, I'm doing it as we're talking here. But,
well, very good. Very good.
Yeah, Head On Radio Network chat room. Thank you for your registration. You may now begin to chat room. Proceed to chat room. And, it has the name I've chosen, Hack909, and my password. Well, maybe it'll work. I'll see.
Cross your fingers, Dave. Cross your fingers.
Okay. But be aware, they do tend to meddle wherever they choose. And some years ago.
Well, listen, Dave, the fact of the matter is, in that testimony given to Congress by the National Security Advisor, whose name I can't recall, but I do remember that he came from the coal industry or came from some institute that was lobbying for big coal. What he gave in his testimony was that, a big part of this is cyber attacks and that the business with Google in China getting hacked was sort of a wake-up call to the fact that that this is relentless, and they're saying that Al-Qaeda may attack our Internet infrastructure next and make it, you know... For somebody who operates on the Internet and exclusively on the Internet, this is it's meaningful when I hear that. But by the same token, I'm thinking we're incompetent to fight that kind of stuff off. I don't think you can write that all off to being, everybody's just on a worn out old Microsoft computer.
No, it isn't. No, they're able to invade, and there's different reasons. I should share a little bit my own predicament if I have a moment, because I stumbled into a major corporate government fraud. There was a corporation that was paying off virtually the entire Democratic and Republican Party for the right to rip off their customers and to have no government interference. There would be nobody, no Congress member, no assemblyman, no state. No Democrat, no Republican would do anything about what they were doing. So they were ripping people off. They got me for a little over $500. So I set out to have it investigated. And no how, no way was I going to get any Republican or Democrat or any federal agency to look into it. So this was a corporation that did business worldwide. And so I drafted up the letter and sent it off to every member. Uh-oh, am I still there?
You're here.
Every member of the assembly, members of parliament, prime ministers, and everything, just saying, this is the story as I know it. Almost all of them took me seriously. They asked for an investigation. They sent it to the FBI. They sent it to the Attorney General. And from that time on, I have never been alone on a computer. So they didn't like what I did. And so these guys, they just abuse their powers. I mean, if I wanted to play a game of cards on the computer, they're there to mess with it. You know, they're
sure.
There, so why not be ugly if you can do it, if they can do it?
No, I certainly understand that.
Sense.
No, you are. I understand what you're saying. I do. I really do.
I think they've done terrible things to such things as head-on. I think if some agency said, let's advertise on head-on radio, they will one way or another prevent that from happening.
Well, then, in that sense, we're lucky, Dave, because that leaves...
You don't want the advertising.
Right. I don't want what comes with it.
No, but, I mean, think of the things they've done to Guy. I mean, they've chopped his wires up, they put him off the air, they've blown up his antennas.
Yeah, but remember, Guy is dealing with Comcast, and those people could screw up a one-car funeral, all right? it's just that simple. So sometimes simple incompetence can do a lot more than full-blown nefariousness.
I've had to learn this myself, and that is that there is such thing as computer glitches, even to those who are the victim of all kinds of interference and harassment from these Patriot Act troopers. So, yes, there is. I mean, I too experience real-life computer glitches.
Exactly.
I'm going to get back on, and I'm going to listen to you, and I really, if I show up on the chat room, I'm...
We will all be tickled to see you, Dave.
All right, my friend.
All right, take care.
Take care.
Bye now. Lines open at 877-443-2366, 877-4-HEAD on your nickel, 304-658-3333, and email to bobkincaid@gmail.com. Look, everything's fair game every night of the week, so jump right in. Hey, welcome to the program. Hey, Juanita.
You know, I didn't know that was Mike Malloy until he said something about Kathy.
Oh, bless your heart. I should have. I was. That's
you said
my fault.
Mike, and it just didn't dawn on me. I mean, that was nice.
No, it wasn't. And, you know, I can't overstate what Malloy has meant to us going forward. The whole reason we're here stems in many ways from the nights that I used to, you know, I had work that would have me driving around. Sometimes when he was in Chicago, sometimes I'd just go out to the garage where my reception was better and just tune in mic so that I didn't feel quite so insane sitting out in the middle of rural West Virginia. And it was listening to Mike that made me think, you know, of all the things I've done in my life that I worked at, the thing I loved the most was radio. And I got to figure out a way to do this. And that was strictly and exclusively inspired by Malloy.
Well, really, it's amazing what you have done, Bob. It really is. And, you know, it's I love the article that they wrote about you in Buzzflash. I meant to say yesterday I had read it. And I tried to get on and get put a comment, but it wouldn't accept my password, so I don't know. I have, but you had some good commentaries. I read Kate's. That was really...
Wasn't that beautiful?
Neat. Yeah, she's got a way with words. And a beautiful speaking voice. Oh, I was saying one thing about her the other day. I was going to talk another thing about the double vowels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I don't know about everybody, but I don't realize when I'm saying it. I think I'm just saying one. And I've had, you know, gotten arguments with people from other parts of the country. They'll say, no, it's this. And I'll say, well, that's what I said. No, they said, you have an extra vowel, you know. I said, no, see, I said so and so.
It's kind of like what happened the other day. I was, you know, I kid around with Agnes and so forth, and I said, well, you know, I said, honey, I'm going up above the Mason-Dixie line, up into Pennsylvania, and you know how they are up there. It's liable to be some of them northern women look at me like they used to in college and say that again, and I say what, and they say anything. I like the way you talk.
Yeah.
And Agnes just said, you best not.
It was funny to meet a lot of people from down here that have lived down here. They're from the north, and they'll go back up north, and they'll say, you talk like a southerner. And they'll always say, y'all, they'll get that.
When I was a little boy, my best friend down the street in Alabama moved north to the Cincinnati area. And of course, that was just a crushing blow when your best friend moves away and you're a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
But a few years later, he came back, and he talked like that. And all of us who knew him before he moved away, said, what happened? What did they do to you up there to make you talk that way? And that's the funny thing. A southern accent will rub off into a northern accent. Northern accents never become southern.
and they don't realize it either. Yeah, I had about three things I wanted to talk, and I won't take long.
Go right ahead.
Susan Collins, I sent you an email about her. Have you seen her?
Oh, I know.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. I've never seen her act in such a way, and every time you see her in Letterman, she's like, she's just gazing at him like, I could just eat you up, Letterman. But...
Yeah, and that's just a little creepy to begin with, but
it is, yeah. And you know that she's got a lot of stuff from him, you know that. But one interview I saw where they were saying, well, you know, Bush did all these things, you know, read Amanda, Miranda Rights and all, and then she said, well, what makes you think that I agreed with him? I mean, I've never seen her like that. Not that I've seen her do everything. I don't. But you know, she's always been like prim and proper. But she's getting something, be something else. So I'm gonna appeal to Ron to get out and get rid of that woman. Get her out of office.
I don't think.
Get her out of there.
Well, you know this business about every time she or Olympia Snow are brought up, it's. Well, you know, they're the last moderate Republicans.
Right.
And
right.
It used to be Susan Collins, Olympia Snow, and Arlen Specter.
Yeah.
But they're the last moderate Republicans. We need moderate Republicans. But the thing is, there's no moderate in them. Every time that George Bush wanted something hateful, every time George Bush wanted something dirty, when the rubber met the road, Susan Collins and Olympia Snow were there to do his bidding. And you know, the fact that we don't have a public option has everything in the world to do that with the fact that Harry Reid sat there letting Olympia Snow dictate the terms of the health care bill in the Senate.
Yeah.
What the heck is moderate about that, Juanita?
You beats me. Then another thing I wanted to talk about was about the 10 missionaries in Haiti.
Yes. You mean the ones that are charged with kidnapping?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just like to give my little take on that.
Well,
about them.
You do it.
Well, I'm just the best, under their best intentions, I'm going to say that they had good intentions. But I don't know that they did, but just say they did. They are very ignorant about there's trafficking in people besides the kidnapping. They probably thought they could have thought they were doing a great thing for those kids. Some of the kids were telling, we have parents. And I think that as believing they were doing the right thing, I think they thought that there was no law to bind them that they could just do what they wanted to in the little ignorant country. You know what I'm saying? People don't have a respect for other country and their laws, but they better. And you get my point, what I'm trying to say?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
And I think that if, regardless of whether they are charged or not with the trafficking, there are possibilities of them being charged with trafficking. And who knows, they might have been doing it. I don't know. But I'm just saying, if they were doing it for true altruistic reasons, they still show, if some of that, we have so much of that here, we don't respect other people's boundaries and priorities and so forth.
Well, and the whole story doesn't hold up, Juanita. You know, they claim that they had 33 children that were orphaned by the devastating quake. And on, you know, chaos reigns in Haiti.
Yeah.
But they've still got enough of a justice system left that that they can be turned over to the Haitian justice community. But the fact of the matter is, they said they were you know, taking this busload of orphans to the Dominican Republic. Well, if that's true, why did they need to take the orphans to the Dominican Republic? What they were doing was engaging in human trafficking.
Well, that's what they'll possibly be charged with too.
And I hope they are.
And if they are doing it for what they think is a good reason, you know, they think in their heart they're right, you know, that's the problem with a lot of people over here, especially in the churches, they don't.
But Juanita, if they thought they were doing it in the right and for the right reasons, why were they not going to the airport at Port-au-Prince, where there are aid stations? There's an entire UN compound. My God, there's 500 volunteer ministers from the Church of Scientology doing healing touch. There's all kinds of stuff that,
yeah, well,
relatively speaking,
there weren't really offerings there.
Yeah,
you know, but yeah, I agree with you, Bob.
But again, please bear in mind, Juanita, this is a Baptist church from Idaho.
Yeah, I've noticed that, and you know, you never know.
I mean, I
and
grew up in a,
what those kids would be used for.
Right, I grew up in a Baptist church in Alabama, and that has left scars that have scars.
Yeah.
Okay, but if you're talking about a Baptist church in Idaho, God only knows what that actually means. Remember,
yeah.
Fred Phelps and his cult are ostensibly, and have never been drummed out,
right,
a Baptist church in Kansas. You know, Fred Phelps is an ordained Southern Baptist minister who has never been defrocked by the Southern Baptist Convention. Never.
Yeah, don't that tell you something, too?
Yeah, well, it's kind of, well, I'm going to say it anyway. It's kind of like Hitler. Okay? To this day, Juanita, the Roman Catholic Church has never excommunicated Adolf Hitler, who was baptized into their body.
Yeah.
Now, does that say something? To me, it does. And this isn't Catholic bashing. You know, because it's the Baptist that got me to, you know,
I know exactly what you mean. If
Fred Phelps is running contrary to accepted Southern Baptist doctrine, then he needs to be defrocked. If, on the other hand, everything that Fred Phelps is saying has some grounding in Southern Baptist doctrine, well, that says a lot more about Southern Baptist doctrine than it does about Fred Phelps. And by extension, heaven only knows what passes for doctrine with these fundamentalist clowns from Idaho.
Right.
I mean, because there were several of them. There's a bunch of them. And not one of them looked up and said, maybe this isn't a good idea?
Well, and another thing, them saying that they found them in an orphanage, there was one mother that said that she gave them her oldest child because they told her they could give her a better life. And she voluntarily gave them. So they didn't get them all out of an orphanage. So I hope that they did it for what they... for good reason, if it was. I hope they get scared, the bejesus scared out of them, because they need to learn that they're not going to, you know, they just can't go all over the world and run roughshod over other people and take their children away.
But remember, there's a little bit more at work here, Juanita. Inside any fundamentalist cult, and I include the Southern Baptist Church when I say fundamentalist cult.
Yeah.
And especially if you're talking about some sort of fundamentalist Christianity, it goes back 2,000 years to the question of whether or not we focus the religion on the life of Christ or focus the religion on the death of Christ. And from the moment that the choice was made to focus on the death of Christ instead of his life, then the whole thing comes forward with a great big massive just baggage train of emotional wreckage of people thinking that they have to suffer to some degree like Jesus did. So you got 10 people sitting in a jail in Haiti who are saying, well, it's all right. We're suffering like our Lord.
At least some of them, I'm sure, feel that way.
I would feel confident in saying all 10, Juanita.
Yeah.
It's the heart and soul of what they believe.
Another thing I wanted to talk about last night on Rachel's show, she brought up about. Did you hear about the Renko company?
Lorax AG.
And that's one of his. He wrote that to take care of the world, you know.
Yeah, it was an early introduction for children into their stewardship of the planet.
Right. And it's funny how.
But what beats the pants off of me is the fact that the cease and desist letter has been sent to Lorax AG, and up till as of broadcast time this evening, they had persisted in ignoring it.
Well, they got a fancy logo. I've got the website. They got a fancy logo here, and it's Architects of Clean Technologies.
And the whole thing is a coal gasification dodge.
It says more on clean coal. New clean coal hazards revealed could poison plants and people.
And of course, you were able to access their website. I just tried to go there. And it gives you a 404 forbidden. You are now not allowed to enter this site.
Really? I didn't look up that name. I looked up Clean Coal.
Okay.
That's how I found it.
But yeah. it's certainly still a registered domain because it shows up in a search engine.
Yeah. I got it on Firefox or Foxfire, whatever you call it. And then the reality, they got another little article, video. The reality, there's no such thing as clean coal. Another thing about Rachel, she said here a while back, she was talking about the coloring book, the coal coloring book for the children. She said, well, there's one thing about it. You only need one color.
Isn't that the truth? And that, yeah, that's
the, little that's
the,
weenies,
yeah,
know?
That's the same. That's the same. That's the same coloring book that portrays people working in the coal industry as dogs.
Really?
Yeah, the coal miner is a dog, kind of like McGruff.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's what...
Yeah, I guess he's...
I don't think that much of him.
I guess he's McBlacklung the coal dog.
Maybe.
Poor attempt at humor on my part, but yeah.
Okay, well, Bob, I think I've had my say, and I appreciate it.
Well, Juanita, I really appreciate it,
too. And it's your anniversary of the program?
Well, yeah, it was 6 years ago tonight. It was a Tuesday, as a matter of fact, 6 years ago tonight that the show premiered in America's fifth smallest radio market.
Okay, well, congratulations.
Well, thank you kindly. We'll talk soon, Juanita.
Okay, you take care.
Bye now.
Bye night.
Wow. What a night so far. We have shot through 2 hours. It's 6 minutes before 8 p.m. here in the Eastern time zone. We've got an hour more to do, and you can chime in as you see fit, and you are more than welcome to do so. We'll take a break here in a moment or so, and just go ahead it's Thursday, right? So that means we have the Green News Report from Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. Before we go, a nasty little snippet of information that comes from Facing South. They do great work. The Institute for Southern Studies. And it's titled, and you, if you want to see it for yourself, it's at southernstudies.org. Analysis, Southerners, a stronghold for of far-right views in Republican Party. No, really? But, no, you've got to have some degree of verification of this stuff that we all know in advance. And they write, this week, Daily Coast released the eye-opening results of a poll of 2,000 Republicans across the country. Nationwide, right? And astonishingly, vast numbers of GOP voters believe, there's that most dangerous word in the English language again, believe President Obama is racist. What? Where's that liquor bottle? A socialist? Not even a citizen of the United States? And the article at Facing South notes that Sam Stein at Huffington Post said, the poll illustrates the incredible paranoia enveloping the party and the intense pressure drawing lawmakers further and further away from political moderation. And then the folks at Facing South note that the poll has one big flaw. 42% of those who were polled at all were all from southern states, you know, Confederacy, way out of proportion with their share of Republican voters nationally. So they note that the oversampling of southern Republicans, 846 of them in total, skews the national results, but also means the data gives us an especially rich picture. I love the way they write. And especially, it gives us an especially rich picture of the views held by GOP voters in the South. On almost every issue, southern Republicans are far to the right of their national GOP brethren. And pardon this little moment of historical context, if you will, but so it has always been. And what I mean by that is southern radicalism is almost always the harbinger of something really, really nasty hiding out in America's future. Southern radicalism, it was the radical response to the rise of the abolitionist movement that made the Civil War happen. Because, consider, as I've mentioned on the program, Andrew Jackson had to deal with secessionism out of South Carolina, and they shut up real quick. But in the intervening years between Andrew Jackson and the end of the presidency of James Buchanan, Southern radicalism just it grew like a cancer until you had an entire region of the country literally in a murderous frenzy. And so I would submit to you, if you will, that this polling, these polling numbers give us, Facing South said, an especially rich picture of the views held by GOP voters in the South. Here, as they note, are four questions asked of Republicans about President Obama. And it gives the overall numbers and the next highest number. Question one, should Barack Obama be impeached or not? In the South, the answer is 42% yes. In the next highest region, it's 38%. Do you believe Barack Obama was born in the United States or not? In the South, 43% say no. Fully 10% less than that say the same in the next highest region. Question three, do you think Barack Obama is a socialist? Jesus Christ. In the South, 67% say, yep, sure is. In the next highest region, it's only 61%. And then in a manifestation that I think says a lot about the Southern character and the Southern mindset, this question, do you believe Barack Obama wants the terrorists to win? Only
28% of the southern respondents said yes. And of the next highest region, it was only 22%. So, and how to look at numbers like this. Consider, if you will, for a moment, a football Saturday in either Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Knoxville, Tennessee, Athens, Georgia, Columbia, South Carolina, Gainesville, Florida, Lexington, Kentucky, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Oxford, or, Starkville, Mississippi, Fayetteville, Arkansas. Consider a football stadium on a football Saturday in any of those towns, wherein anywhere from 60 to 100 plus thousand individuals are in the stadium. You know how it was on the playground when you had to count off 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, the ones go here, the twos go here, the three go. Count to 28. Then count to 100. Pull those 28 out. 28 out of every 100 Southerners who are Republicans think that Barack Obama wants the tourists to win. Now do it again. Count to 100 in that same stadium, time after time after time. Every time you get to 67, you've got the number of people who think that Barack Obama's a socialist. Count to 100 again in those same stadiums. Every time you get to 43, you've got the number of people who think that Barack Obama was born in Kenya. When you get to 42, you've got the number of people who think that Barack Obama should be impeached. More people in the South believe that Barack Obama is a socialist, probably by a factor of twice as many as believe that evolution is a fact. Southern radicalism never, never, never takes the United States anywhere that the United States wants to go. And I mean that with all of my heart. And brothers and sisters, they're coming. And they're coming for you. They're coming for you in Washington. They're coming for you in Massachusetts. They're coming for you in New York. And every time they start talking about the stuff that they think they say we're accusing them of, it's actually stuff they're talking about that they really are. They believe in FEMA death camps because they want FEMA death camps to put you in and me in. They believe in death panels because they want death panels to get rid of the pernicious liberal influence in America. It's the heart and soul of Southern right-wing radicalism. Baby, the Klan is alive and well. They just tucked the sheets away for a little bit. Actually, what it boils down to, they didn't tuck the sheets away for a little bit. They got so that they could appear in polite society. They can talk amongst themselves in polite society and say that crazy, evil garbage. And where before, decent, upstanding Southerners would say, you filthy Klansmen, you go somewhere else. With every passing day of right-wing radicalism in the South, there's one less Southerner to say that. So, you know, that's why I say that websites like Left in Alabama are so damned important. Because it is in the act of refusing to remain silent in the face of manifest evil that provides us with the only hope we have. And I mean that sincerely. So we'll take a little break. We'll take a little break for the Green News Report from Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. Then we'll get back to the conversation. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. 304-658-3333 is the direct dial number. Jump right in. The conversation's fine. Email rolls into bobkincaid@gmail.com. You are listening to America's listener-supported liberal voice. You, by God, are listening to the horn.
Stay out the way of the southern thing. Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's Thursday, February 4th, 2010.
Climate scientists cleared of wrongdoing. Hope for bluefin tuna. Plus, Obama's mixed signals on cap and trade.
The concept of incentivizing clean energy so that it's the cheaper, more effective kind of energy is one that is proven to work and is actually a market-based approach.
All of that and more straight ahead. I'm Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of green news, politics, analysis, and very snarky comment.
I mean, Obama's talking about something that exists only in fairy tales. Clean coal. There is no such thing. It doesn't exist. That's like saying non-nuclear nuclear reactors.
You tell him, Mike Malloy. This is your Green News Report. Today's Green News Report is brought to you by Velvet Revolution's Stop the Chamber campaign. Concerned about the Supreme Court's recent ruling allowing unlimited corporate cash in American elections? So is VR. It's time for we the people to fight back against the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and their corporate cash laundering operation. Please sign on to StopTheChamber.com to help the citizens take on the corporatists. It's your democracy. Use it or lose it. Please support StopTheChamber.com today. Okay, Desi Doyen, what's going on today in your green, green little world?
Well, there's an update on ClimateGate. A top climate scientist embroiled in the controversy over those hacked and stolen emails has been cleared.
Fraud! It's all a fraud!
Well,
ClimateGate, what? It's not a fraud?
I heard
it was a fraud.
Michael Mann, climate scientist at Penn State University, was cleared of serious charges of misconduct by an academic panel this week. Mann was one of a handful of scientists whose private emails were posted on the internet. The emails were seized upon by the climate change denial industry to cast doubt on the science underlying human-caused climate change.
He was forced to step down. He was fired. He's out, right? He's in jail, this guy.
No, he's been cleared.
Cleared? Oh, I guess that didn't make it onto Fox News this week for some reason.
Guess not. The effort to save the bluefin tuna from extinction just got a boost. France has agreed to vote for a global ban on the bluefin tuna trade. Bluefin tuna is so popular for sushi that the species is now literally on the brink of extinction, and France's move may push other countries to sign on. Recent history shows that species on the brink of collapse can recover with aggressive fishing management and practices, but measures must be implemented as soon as possible. In the 80s and 90s, the entire cod species collapsed in the northern Atlantic because fishing bans were imposed too late, and the species never recovered.
So let me get this straight. The world is now following the courageous leadership example of France?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
With the introduction of the federal budget this week and the State of the Union speech last week, President Obama has made it clear he wants the Senate to pass climate and clean energy legislation. But at a town hall meeting this week in New Hampshire, he appeared to back off on a key component of the legislation, cap and trade.
The House passed an energy bill, and people complained about, well, there's this cap and trade thing. We may be able to separate these things out. And it's conceivable that that's where the Senate ends up.
It's the first time the president has suggested cap and trade may not make it into the Senate bill, where conservative Senate Democrats have been pushing to break it up into pieces. Yet in remarks before Senate Democrats yesterday, in yet another of those question and answer sessions, he told Senate Democrats,
one of the best ways to be on the forefront on the in energy is to incentivize clean energy and discourage the old sources or methods
that aren't going to work in the future. So don't give up on that.
It is a market-based approach. It is a conservative approach. This idea of cap and trade was used successfully by the George Bush Sr. administration. It was used successfully, actually, by the George W. Bush administration back before Fox News and Rush Limbaugh and these guys had a Democrat in office that they had to attack. But, yeah, the idea that Obama has been talking about, incentivizing the use of clean energy, creating a market base for limits on dirty energy, makes perfect sense, is rather conservative, and yet the folks on the right have been attacking this endlessly.
Except for one, Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. He's a Republican, and he is coming out as an ally for cap and trade. At a clean energy conference for business leaders in D.C. yesterday, Graham said he would not vote for, quote, some half-assed energy bill, saying that putting a price on carbon pollution is the only way to achieve energy independence. And he also stressed China's growing lead in the clean energy race.
Yeah, and this was something that his little buddy, Senator McCain, was also in favor of when he was running for president, but maybe now not so much.
And in the meantime, of course, the Associated Press reports this week that China doubled its wind energy capacity in just the last year. Finally, part of the Obama administration's budget includes eliminating some tax breaks for oil, gas, and coal companies, saving an estimated $36 billion over the next 10 years. But naturally, those industries announced that they are going to fight for their tax breaks by lobbying Congress. Although in the State of the Union address, Obama promised increased offshore drilling and clean coal funding. The president of the American Petroleum Institute, Jack Girard, called the idea of cutting the industry's tax breaks a tax increase that would damage the economy and kill jobs. Exxon spent $27 million in lobbying in 2009, which was a record year for fossil fuel companies to lobby Congress.
The corporate welfare queens just won't stop crying, will they? Read about that and much more at our website, greennews.bradblog.com. Got a comment? Send it to us, greennews@bradblog.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, download us on iTunes. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report. Cry babies.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at CityNet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit CityNet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
You know what the hell of a break like that is? It makes me want to run out and say 19 different things at the same time. And the simple process of prioritization is just a booger. I was really proud of that bumper. Of course, I'm proud of any opportunity that I get to play the truckers because, you know, if Mike Malloy is the godfather of the horn, they are the patron saint band. Those guys and girl, can't forget Shauna, are simply the most amazing, hardworking people in show in the music business and perhaps in show business. And just that howl of Patterson Hood, that howling vocal on that song, and that was the Southern Thing from Southern Rock Opera, by the way, for those of you who aren't completely trucker familiar. Just whoa.
I guess I'm having that ice cold aqua bit night, aren't I? Because these things just keep seeming to sort of splash over me. In hearing the Green News report and those quotes from President Obama, I couldn't help but think, you know, where cap and trade and all that is concerned, when he said, when the mention came that the Senate thinks that maybe the smarter thing is to break the climate legislation into pieces, I was reminded, wow, is this esoteric, sorry. At the very end of Shakespeare's Henry V, there is a line where the chorus, summing everything up, speaking of the advisors who followed Henry V and were the, I guess, sort of regents to the young Henry VI, said, the chorus says, and having the management of it all, broke it all to pieces. And that's the only goal of the Republicans in the Congress, is to take what little is left of American dignity, what little is left of American can-do, and break it all to pieces. And the reason I say this is because it goes hand in glove with that whole be afraid, be very afraid approach from the American military complex to terrorism. God almighty, this is not rocket science. They're blowing up our soldiers in Pakistan because A, our soldiers have no business being in Pakistan, and B, because of the evil shit we do to them. Now, I know that there, and you know, this is somewhat reminiscent of the Palestinian-Israeli thing, because you get into this game of recriminations. Well, you know, we shot rockets at you because you gassed our people. Well, we gassed your people because you shot rockets at us. And it just spirals downward and downward and downward until everybody is mired up to their eyebrows in hell. And the only way out of it is for one side to simply stop. And I would submit to you, insofar as it is their country, unless I missed something and Afghanistan's been made a state while I was in D.C., simply stopping is something that only we have the luxury of doing. We get to leave. They get to sort out their problems. But they cannot sort them out with the muzzle of an American gun against their head. It doesn't work when you're trying to get information out of a captive, and it doesn't work when you're trying to get a certain behavior out of a country. It all joins together, doesn't it? In regard to my little mini rant about those statistics coming out of the South about Republican Southerners, and concomitantly what that means for all of us, a note rolled in from Kate. And she said, thanks for confirming my feelings that something terrible this way comes. The fabric of the society is full of holes. All of those folks who crowd into the stadiums every Saturday are very, very frightening. When I walk through the grocery store, I shudder. If that person only knew me, my safety would be compromised. It ain't good out here, son. And she notes, the sheets are all Martha Stewart from Kmart, by the way, or the sheets are all sports team hoodies. And just taking that, when I heard that line in the Truckers, the Southern thing about great-grandpa got shot at Shiloh and had a hole in his side, it set me to thinking. You know, when I was a kid growing up, and I think it was probably a direct response to things like Brown versus Board of Education. Okay, a little more background, a little deeper background. You know, there are some states out there where you have to have your license tag on the front and the back of your automobile. Probably not a lot of them, but for the most part, the front bumper plate space is reserved for, I don't know, cute little airbrushed plates that say Teener and Timmy that you got last year when you went to the fair and done one to your goldfish. That's what goes up there. But as a kid growing up in Alabama, there was a whole lot of those front bumper tags. And, I mean, you could buy them at any hole-in-the-wall gas station that you stopped at that showed this cranky, bearded, gray-bearded Southern soldier kind of squat to the ground, clothes not fitting real good. You know, the classic caricature of the butternut soldier. And he's got him a Confederate battle flag over his shoulder, holding the flag pole in one hand, and he's got his gun in the other, and underneath it says "Forget Hell." Actually, it said "Forget Hell" over the top, and underneath it said "The South shall rise again." Memo to the rest of the country. Mission accomplished. The South has risen again. We, in 2010, some 150 years since the recent unpleasantness, are living in a time and in a place where, in fact, the South has risen again. One chinless bastard in the United States Senate in the form of Mitch McConnell can give a withering glance to the Senate Majority Leader who has 59 votes and make said Senate Majority Leader leave a yellow puddle in the middle of the Senate floor. Yes, indeedy. And the same applies to climate legislation. It applies to health care. And by the way, let me just take a moment and say that say thanks again to all the folks who are commenting on the BuzzFlash article. We still need more. Lots more. We've gotten one extra tweet. But we have heard from Poppy from the chat room. DMD has chimed in. Coasting Colt had some kind words. Corey has said beautiful things. Kimbo has said just a couple of lines of stuff that just gives me shivers. Kate has chimed in, keeping the hillbilly on the hill. William Blue Man has chimed in, and as mentioned, Walter and David in Tennessee and Susan, and if you keep scrolling downward, you will find Matt Osborne's comment, and he embedded a little YouTube video of some audio from our visit to Washington D.C. last week. That's huge, and I didn't. And see, the thing is, this stuff comes at you so fast when you're doing it there at a thing like the Health Action 2010 in D.C. It comes at you so fast that you don't necessarily have a full grip on what you're hearing. But Matt got hold of me and said, man, I heard that. Did you not? My God. And he went and found the little snippet of audio of this piece talking about asset testing for Medicaid in the healthcare bill, and around that he built his comment about the horn on the BuzzFlash interview, and he said something that is so true and so beautifully said. He said, "The end of Medicaid means testing is no wonky arcanum. It is the holy grail of progressive health care reform activists across Appalachia and the South. And I didn't learn about this through newsprint, TV, or commercial radio, but from an internet broadcast out of West Virginia operated on a shoestring by a man with more guts and twice the brains of the entire talk radio universe put together. That's humbling. But it's true. Not the part about me and my guts and... But there are things there, if we get health care reform into the South, the right wing's ascendancy may very well be done. And I don't care if the right wing hears this. They know it better than I do. They know it better than you do. They know it better than we do. Why do you think they're fighting so damn desperately? They're in their trenches. They're good at this stuff. These are the sons and grandsons and great-grandsons and great-great-grandsons of men who had next to nothing short of muzzle-loading squirrel rifles and held off for nearly five damn years the entire might of the entire United States of America. If you are in a fight with them, you had better haul your jockstrap up around your shoulder blades and be ready to be in it, sunshine. Because they're in it. And they don't mean to beat you. They mean to kill you. They mean to make it so that you can't raise your socialist health care option up no never and again. Because when they said, starting in late April of 1865, that the South would rise again, they meant it, and they told their sons, and their sons told their sons, and their sons' sons told their sons, and on down to the point that a little six-year-old boy is looking at a front bumper tag in North Alabama going, Daddy, what does that mean? Forget hell, the South will rise again. They are ready for you. Are you ready for them? That is the question. I just got a link to a posting. Finds the majority of Americans favor regulating carbon emissions and educational programs related to climate change. While the recently released Yale poll, which found Americans' opinions on the urgency of acting to control greenhouse gases declining, and skepticism rising, the new study, entitled Climate Change in the American Mind, Public Support for Climate and Energy Policies in January 2010. Guys, we got to work on the titling. That's never going to work. I'm being a smartass. Finds broad-based public support for action on climate issues regardless of political preferences. I hope that's true. Jerry says the new poll found that a majority of Americans support protecting the environment, even if it reduces economic growth, 63%. Schools should teach our children about the causes, consequences, and potential solutions to global warming, 70%. Our government should establish programs to teach Americans about global warming, 60%. Our government should establish programs to help Americans reduce their own greenhouse gas emissions, 65%. Our government should establish programs to teach Americans how to save energy, 75%. Overall, protecting the environment improves economic growth and provides new jobs, 67%. And when there is a conflict between environmental protection and economic growth, protecting the environment is more important, even if it reduces economic growth, 63%. Interesting, all those 63% and 64% and 65%, don't you think? 67%? Damned interesting. Because guess where the other percentages are? Hint, they're not in Connecticut. They're in Alabama. They're in Mississippi Stan. They're in Georgia Bad. They're in South Carolina Stan. They're in Tennessee. They're in Kentucky. They're in Arkansas, Louisiana, Oklahoma, Texas, Florida. And they are dug in. And no matter how badly the rest of the country wants them, they are hell-bent on stopping it. And these folks fight real goodly like. It would be wise to pay attention and know who is opposing us. We would do well indeed. And a little plug here along the way. This is not paid for in any fashion. This is simply something that I'm going to do, and I have a confession to make. We've talked about the fact that I'm a decaffeinated guy. Hence, I drink decaffeinated tea, decaffeinated coffee. When I drink pop, it has to be something that, because, do you hear me? Do you really want me on caffeine? Come on, please. And it makes my heart go inside my chest and feel like it's going to shoot to the moon, and it's just not pleasant. Well, in fact, there's an example. Somewhere far back in the archives, if you remember back when Agnes was producing, I got to have a little something to drink. No, not like that. During the program. And Agnes didn't know any better, and she handed me a Barks root beer. And I was thirsty, and I didn't give it a second's thought, and I guzzled that thing down. And then I looked at the can. Oh, Jesus, this is the only root beer on earth that has caffeine in it. And, yep, we have liftoff. Bob will be approaching orbit in approximately 2.3 seconds. Can't do caffeine. Not good for me at all. And so when I want it, and most decaffeinated coffee tastes like melted brown crayon in tepid water. Yuck! Why bother? But if you get 100% Colombian decaf, it almost tastes like coffee. Especially if it's what you're used to. So with that in mind, when I go out to get coffee, it's either get 100% Colombian decaffeinated coffee or no coffee at all. And this is the confessional part, and I hope you'll all forgive me. I have begged, and I know that they have a store brand, Kroger Supreme or BK Kroger, whatever, 100% Colombian decaffeinated coffee. I've got a Kroger here, and I have begged! Please won't you bring the decaf in, because the only people around here selling decaf that I can stand to drink is over at Wally World! And I get the shakes like a dog with the hydrophobia going into Walmart. But that's where I got to go if I want to buy a brick of decaffeinated 100% Colombian coffee around here. But I'm going to do something this evening. I just got a note in, and those of you who listen to Malloy will know his name. I just got a note into my email from Bob Alexander over at Super Beans. Superbeans.com, and he's got a big deal going on right now. Some price reductions, and as compared to a 12-ounce brick of god awful Sam's Club Old Roy, what the ever, 100% Colombian decaf. I can drop a note to Bob Alexander and get me some coffee that I know is going to be good because I've had it before and it's wonderful. And that's what I'm going to do. And you know what? The other part of this is that I believe that liberals support liberals. Bob hasn't paid me a penny to say any of this. I say this more out of honor and respect for Malloy and for Bob, because that's where I first heard about Super Beans. This is a real person working at a real job doing a real service. Superbeans.com. Check out the special. And if you're like me, well, at least you don't have to go to god-awful Wally World just so you can have a cup of coffee in the morning. And you know what? Just not going to Wally World makes your conscience feel about a million times cleaner. You know what I mean? So that's that. So onward to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's Gerard in Indiana.
Well, hey, Gerard, what's up?
How you doing?
Hanging in.
Well, I had to call because since it is the anniversary, I just wanted to give some, because I know there's been a lot of people, I know that the audience is growing all the time, and even in the chat room we get new names and they're all the time, and people might not know, and I basically called to say thank you to you, but also, you know, for all, I think your family deserves a load of thanks as well. Thinking back over the years that I've listened, in fact, I think the way I got to you was by way of Bruce Bircher's show. It was really kind of a happy accident.
Right.
I was searching, did a Google search. I was trying to get to All Things Considered website, and I saw is a link to All Things Reconsidered. And listened to his show, and then he had mentioned Fourth Estate program, and so I listened to that, and they mentioned Head On with Bob Kincaid, which is how I got to you. And, you know, thinking over the years of things like, well, Agnes producing the show for you, and the things around the holidays. One of my favorites is Ferg playing keyboards.
He's working on something new now.
Oh, yeah. But it's often a thing that people don't always think about. I know the time commitment, you know, for yourself, but also, for you being away from them or busy doing the things that need to be done to make sure that the horn stays on, the times traveling to cover events, whether it's in Washington or things like Netroots and things like that. You know, I just really think that, you know, and things happen like where you take a night off to watch Bird play football. I think that kind of thing is people need to know that about the horn. I've always thought of it as family. And again, it's kind of odd, I guess, in this day and age to have family that you've never laid eyes on, but that's the way I think of it. And those things make it a valuable thing for me to spend time doing, because I think anybody can be a workaholic, and I'm not saying you are, but, I'm thinking of people who we think of on the other side of the fence who maybe produce kids that get involved in things like these teabaggers or hate speech that, you know, because of the fact that they've been ignored by their parents who are busy, too busy being a quote-unquote success. I'm kind of rambling here, but...
No, you're not. If you're rambling, I'm doomed.
Well, I guess that's the main thing, is that I just wanted people to understand that... And be grateful for the things that, you know, that your individual family members have
well, and you know what, you're right. You're right beyond what you know, Gerard. Just now when I was sort of raising my voice a little bit, Agnes popped her head around the corner here just to make sure that I hadn't shaken an eyeball loose or anything. she's never far from the program. And you know, the main reason we started this thing out with Agnes producing, and she enjoyed it. It was not her gig. It was not something she'd ever done before. And I'm hard to work with, I admit. But the fact of the matter is, it boiled down to the fact that family won out, and it just wasn't working. Not having a parent for 3 hours a night.
Right.
So. you know, that's why Agnes went back into full-time mommy and now, you know, grandmother mode. But she absolutely still is very much concerned with and active in what goes on here. You're right. It has taken a toll, but it's also been this has also afforded me something that I couldn't have if I was out there working in corporate America. And that is, I get to be here around the house for my kids. You know, I had a beautiful little moment today. Margie, who is a 10th grader, came home, and I had recently decided to go out and lay hands on a whole bunch of used copies of Kurt Vonnegut. And I looked at Margie, and I said, here, and I handed her Slaughterhouse Five. I said, you're old enough, in an enlightened school system, you would have read this when you were a freshman.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I said, read this. It is not optional. Whatever you're reading now, put it down and read this and get back to me because there will be a quiz. And she looked at me and no, I said, no, honey, really. I don't tell you to do a lot of stuff. This is one, you know, enjoy it. You will enjoy it. It's a great read, but read it as if you were reading it for school. And so, you know, that's an opportunity that might not happen for me if I was off somewhere in corporate America or saying, welcome to Walmart, when she got home from school.
Yeah. Well, even to the point of, you know, it gets to be where things are all of a piece. You know, if I, you know, I'm a 60s kid. I guess I was 12 in 1968. So my formative years were, you know, late 60s to early 70s. If I hadn't stumbled across that kind of, you know, where if I hadn't been in the school, I bounced back and forth as a kid between parochial schools and public schools. But if I hadn't had somewhere along the line a teacher shove or some adult shove something, you know, who was attentive and shove something in my hand, like a Kurt Vonnegut or, you know, a poem by W.B. Yeats or something, you know, I probably would not have the political consciousness that I have today. I know that's a long stretch, and I'm not being very clear, but it's like, you know, with all this emphasis nowadays on math and science, which is great, but, you know, and even Obama goes to the point, you know, of stressing charter schools, and, you know, to me, the biggest, or one of the biggest factors in maintaining a democracy is a public school system. Is where kids have no matter where they're, you know, what kind of economic status they're born into, they have an opportunity to have an education that's as good as it can be. You know, and I know there's problems. I know there's problems in the public school system. But the option, to me, of, you know, where everybody doesn't have that opportunity, to me, it's just we're driving toward, it's just something that supports the, you know, the whole rich get richer, poor get poorer schematic. So, and I'm rambling again, but that was my basic thing was just to thank you guys, and, you know, hopefully with the bus flash thing, we'll continue to make a little noise.
Well, I really appreciate the comment, by the way. Thanks for jumping in there, and it was very well said.
Okay, thank you, and I'll get out of the way and let someone else talk.
All right, Gerard, you have yourself a wonderful evening.
You too.
All right, we'll talk soon.
Bye.
Bye now. That's Gerard calling from out in Indiana, one of the folks who jumped onto that BuzzFlash article and commented. And just a reminder, as we run downhill toward the end of the program, if you want to comment on the BuzzFlash article, there is a link directly to it at headonradionetwork.com. So that's a great way to go find it, so you don't have to go fishing around. Please. We've had some beautiful comments, but there's no such in this circumstance, there is no such thing as enough. If this enterprise, if this undertaking, if this attempt, if this hopeful, if this hopeful desire to create a larger community of liberal expression is to grow, this will be how it grows. It has largely grown through your efforts via word of mouth, by recommendations, and this is a great big manifestation of that. So I'm hoping we can literally see. I'd love to see it go over 100 comments. I'd love to see it go to 1,000. And let people know what's going on here. Not for me, not for my ego, but for all of us and for all of them. We can scare the pants off the right wing if what we're doing here grows and gets big enough for them to worry. See, they're not worried. Everything I said about the South, I meant. But the right wing in general is not worried. They're out there beating these drums because they know that that is how they keep us down. Look at this BS fest that's going to take place in Nashville. Now, as David in Tennessee noted last night, the MB sisters, Marsha Blackburn and Michelle Bachman, the only way I can tell them apart is there's Marsha Blonde and Michelle Brown. Otherwise, same crazy. They've bailed out, and I don't know if that's because the thing is an abject failure or if it's turning into political toxin or if it's just a matter of those two don't want to be in there fighting for a little bit of spotlight with Caribou Barbie. I honestly don't know. But it's going to if two people show up, they will be the two loudest people in Nashville. They're really good at loud. And they're really good at intense. And it would do us well to recognize that. The other thing to note, by the way, as we get closer to Super Bowl Sunday, is that, bless their hearts, Planned Parenthood has come out with a pro-woman ad, which of course CBS will not run. But it's kind of brilliant to see. Because the ad features Olympic gold medalist Al Joyner and former NFL player Sean James. And lo and behold, guess what they're doing? They're defending a woman's right to choose. It's been seen 45,300 times on YouTube. And it doesn't say right to choose, and it doesn't say abortion, but it certainly goes hard after the little Timmy Monobrow and his hagiographical attempt at burgeoning messiahhood. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, I don't care. Well, oh, wait. Okay, this rolling in from David in Tennessee. The crazy MBs, Michelle Bachman and Marsha Blackburn, smell big rats in the organizational group of the teabaggers, money following funny paths, and David notes, hell yes, they would be dwarfed by Caribou Barbie. So I take it that whole thing is a little, you know, it's a little bit of everything. But the thing will still be an absolute
it'll be an absolute nightmare to behold. But, you know, the funny thing, the sad thing is, if it's Super Bowl Sunday coming, we have to do Super Bowl Sunday with earplugs so that we don't have this secular holiday ruined by the right wing. Damn them. But I'm proud of Planned Parenthood for getting out there and doing what they've done. And you know what? I don't care. Tim Tebow ain't fooling nobody. That George Michael stubble don't mean nothing, Tim Tebow. And I don't believe his mama for a minute, and I wish to heck there was a real journalist out there who would at least question her Virgin Mary account. Sing it for us, Tim. Just like him. I smell a parody. Bible verse under my eyelash. Just for one moment to be a woman, naked at my side. Sometimes I think that you never understand me. You think Tebow's one of those weirdos who beats himself? No, not like that. Like, you know, plays himself. Little flail or something. Sing it, Tim. I need a shower. And you know what? I need to wrap things up, too, because we're at the end of the program. Thanks, everybody, for chiming in. George Michael sings in a lower register than Tim Tebow speaks in. There he is, all 6'5", and opens a microphone, and he sounds like Mike Tyson. Whew! That advertised. Okay, we're all going to watch the damn thing, aren't we?
Yeah, I just want to celebrate family.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson. Oh. Yeah, thanks, everybody. Don't forget, please, go and chime in at the BuzzFlash article. Let's see if we can't get into triple digits. Thanks to Sue, ELO. Thanks to Bob Lottie in the chat room. Moderators both. Thanks to News Ninjas Gene and Susan. Thanks to our blogger, Texas Betsy. Thanks to Peter Godbold. Thanks to John Fox. To Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. None of this happens without them. And none of this happens without you. I reiterate, you are the reason we are here. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ColeRiverWind.org. Proving it every day. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.